is Monday, Memorial Day, May the 25th, 142nd day of the new year. Joining us this morning is the executive director. I know there's a connection here somewhere. From the Sequoia Humane Society, Nancy Fleming. Good morning.
Good morning to you, and happy Memorial Day.
Yeah, you know, I still like Decoration Day.
I do too.
I think that really speaks more to it.
It does. My dad actually died on Memorial Day, and he was a World War II vet and was captured twice. And it's just a very, very special day for us. During World War II, he was in the Battle of the Bulge. He also was in the storming of the beaches, and he was under Patton, and it's a very special time.
Did he get out from under him?
He did.
Eventually, okay.
He survived. He was captured by the Germans twice. And
didn't like him either time and threw him out, yeah.
He swore that being an Arkansas country boy was exactly why he was able to survive.
Oh, boy. Our quote this morning comes from Alfred Lord Tennyson. That's kind of a cool quote.
One of my favorites, okay.
Kind hearts are more than coronets, and simple faith than Norman blood. Wait a minute.
No.
Nah, that's not going to work today. I'm not going to. Okay, how about this one? Victor Borgia. I like him better. Laughter is the closest distance between two people.
Oh, that's lovely. We have his piano playing in the background.
Yeah. Yeah, and his stops in the middle and readjusting his jacket.
Yeah, he had a great attitude. He was wonderful.
Oh, boy. Well, yeah, you kind of got military all through your life, don't you? One form or another.
I suppose. I married a Coast Guardsman. Does that count?
Yeah, well, today it does, doesn't it?
Yeah, very handsome Coast Guardsman.
Oh, I see. Had to include the apple polish, huh?
Oh, you betcha. He might be listening.
Yeah. Heaven forbid he might be listening. Oh, do you do anything special?
On Memorial Day?
One of the things that we'll do is cruise a cemetery. I like the old cemeteries, and there's a couple of the old pioneer cemeteries. And for me, that's I wish we were closer to Smith River today, because I just found the Pioneer Cemetery in Smith River.
Wow.
Last week when I decided to make the detour.
Well, again, as that I always think of my dad so much on Memorial Day. But one of his sort of hobbies and a thing that I was raised doing was being taken to cemeteries. And we would do rubbings off the stones. And he would teach us history through the tombstones and how they relate to what was happening in whatever little village or town you're in. And my children have shared that same sort of raising, as we say, and they enjoy that too.
But did you ever get into the ones, the old Western ones?
Some of
here
them
lies da 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 da. Was there like a rhyme? Yeah, obviously.
The East Coast has some awesome graveyards, and then Europe has some amazing graveyards. But you know, our beautiful graveyards here.
Yeah, Myrtle Grove to me is one of the coolest, and every time I go by, I get frustrated because of the vandalism.
Sure,
I know. It's like if I had silly, stupid money, wouldn't it be cool to get the old original ones back and clean them up a little bit, balance them so that they're not tilting and some of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So you like mausoleums also?
Oh, very much so. I do, actually.
Good.
Because I love history so much.
We are warped kindred spirits. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
The best Spanish language station on the North Coast is Juan 790. Tune in to 790 AM for great music, sports from ESPN, and CNN News en Español. If you're a business owner, ask Juan to connect you with the Spanish-speaking community. You'll be glad you did. Visit Juan online at juan790.com or give us a call at 442-5744. Juan 790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good morning. KINS News and Information Time is 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Nancy Fleming. Nancy, the concept of Memorial Day is something I think is is interesting, particularly for those of us in our region. You know, the, you mentioned Mark and the Coasties, mm-hmm. okay, and certainly having that facility, not having the naval facility like we used to right. out in Ferndale has kind of changed things. The old observation stations, the old farm up by Klamath, you know, the and I guess some of the other installations that are still around.
Right. More of those budget cuts, huh?
Well, I don't I you know, or changing times or
all of the
you know, things yeah. like satellites in the air and yeah. It just is interesting how we've kind of gone through, but yet we still have got some of the old pioneer remnants. Fort Humboldt is an example. Mm-hmm. We've got Fort Lincoln in outside of Crescent City. Mm-hmm. We got the lighthouses. I mean, there's a lot of those kinds of maritime right. and semi-maritime yeah, related.
Connection to the sea, protecting our fishermen, protecting our coastline in general.
Yeah.
And to think that we even had, you know, General Grant here, President Grant here years ago.
Well, I didn't realize until a couple weeks ago, Fort Ord.
What about that?
Ord, Major Ord was in Port Orford.
Oh, okay.
For a while. And then he got transferred down.
Okay.
And then the fort was named. I mean, there's all that kind of.
All intertwined.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And again, history, our rich, rich histories. It's always fascinating to learn the connections.
Do you think we do a good job in letting people know?
Not here. I know many years ago, there was huge celebration and pride in having.
Veterans Day parades.
Right.
When was the last one of those that.
We
have been in the area.
We haven't yeah. celebrated that a lot. We haven't celebrated our history and you know, the fact that we were connected with General Grant. And actually, people from Eureka attended his inauguration. And
talk about a long trip. That time of the
very yeah. long trip, yes. Just lots of history that enriches our lives that we need to share a little more than we do, and it helps our subsequent generations connect to their roots here.
Or maybe just kind of explain a little bit about where we are, where, mm-hmm. why we are, that mm-hmm. kind of stuff.
Connect the dots.
Yeah, so to speak. Dot connecting, I mean, yeah, we go yeah. way back. If it's, you know, those big crayons. Remember the big thick crayons? Yeah, mm-hmm. those were ones I had the easiest time of making those.
I see.
But you know, things do develop, things change and whatnot. For those who may not have been in the area, what, 10 years, 12? How many? When were you mayor?
Oh, I was mayor from 1990 until 2002. So it's been a long time.
A dozen years or
long
so.
Time. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's. One of the reasons why she is so knowledgeable in some of this stuff is with that. But, you know, as you said, things change, and,
mm-hmm,
and
they do.
You're now doing a little something different.
I am. I'm now the executive director at the Sequoia Humane Society. So it's a phenomenal job, a rewarding job. And we save lives. We save lives every day.
For folks that are unfamiliar, which one is that one?
The Humane Society, Sequoia Humane Society, is a no-kill shelter, and we're located, we're south of town on, if you know where King Salmon is, you take the King Salmon exit off of Highway 101, and we're right beside the South Bay School. So, especially when you're going out to King Salmon, I know that so many people go out and go to Gill's Restaurant. That's taking a right. And if you come to the Sequoia Humane Society, you take a left.
You're not going to reference the old Volpes, are you?
No,
okay.
No longer.
Now, old folks will remember that and get a giggle. Everybody else just kind of went whoosh right over you, and that's
but we know.
Okay, too. What is the biggest misnomer about the Humane Society?
Well, I think that because many, many years ago it was the impounding facility for the county and was contracted out to the smaller towns around Fortuna, etc., people still think that about the society. But in fact, it's nonprofit, no-kill shelter, and we take care of 300 or 400 animals a year.
Yeah, because things changed when the county built the complex up by the airport.
Right.
Isn't that right about that time?
That's right. If you find a lost animal or you have a need for an impounding facility, you have to take either to the police department or out to the shelter that the county has. We are not sort of legally allowed to take just a stray that you would bring in or some pet that you found.
So there's a process.
There's a process because we could be accused of sort of stealing an animal or something. So
trolling?
You know, trolling. But we certainly, we rescue animals from shelters often or for families that have to, you know, have circumstances in their lives that they need to turn over their ownership of their pet, and then we can rehome them. We can find a loving home for a pet. We also, because of Facebook, it's changed everything as far as communication goes. We're in connections with lots of different shelters that are impounding facilities, and if they are have too many animals, and this happens, you know, in large areas, especially of thousands of pets.
Graduation time.
And we are able to save those pets right before they're being euthanized, and they come in, and you can see it in their faces. They practically hug you. They know that they have escaped, and they're just grateful and wonderful, and it's a joyful job. Then we find great homes for them.
KINS News and Information Times 8:30. We'll be back with more from Nancy Fleming.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Nancy Fleming, Executive Director of the Sequoia Humane Society. Nancy, is there a political element to the Humane Society? I mean, everybody.
No.
There are different things that are involved. You know which group I'm thinking of.
Probably the National Humane Society?
Well, no. That lobby, I mean, there are lobby groups, and then there's other elements too, some of the more radical and extreme
right.
stuff.
Right, and we're
so where does the Humane Society fit into that? Is it non-political?
Totally non-political. In fact, I think that's very, very important. What we are about is rescuing animals, and often under really traumatic conditions, and we bring them in. We spay neuter all the pets that come in, and we give them all their shots. We give them a microchip. So if in a new house or new homing condition they get lost, we can rehome them, and we socialize them. We spend a lot of time getting a pet ready to be home friendly, family friendly. And so when you come to the Humane Society to find a family pet, they've already been, you know, given all of the medical, social training, all kinds of things to make them settle into a home and get over their trauma, that whatever it is that they've been through.
So the intake place is the county shelter. How do they end up with you from the county shelter?
Okay, we're in communication with the county, and when they get really full, they call us or we email each other, and we go help take as many as we have room for. And a lot of the other rescue groups in this county also do the same. So in this county, Humboldt County has a very, very low kill rate. They're just really... we all work hard to make sure that animals don't have to be euthanized.
We have a real high incident of pet ownership also, historically.
Oh, we do. That's right.
As well. Is that normal for a rural area like we have, or is this something that's you know, the college influence? I mean,
I think it's a national influence. I think that over the years, people have come to appreciate that animals are, well, they're almost like people. I mean, they really do settle into a family. You become very attached, and more and more people see that. And I think that once you're around animals, you want more animals. And
it's kind of a disease, yeah.
You know, in a way, because they give so much. They're just the most giving creatures.
Do you or will you search for a particular breed? I know there are some that like smaller breeds. Mm-hmm. There are some that like larger breeds,
right,
for whatever reason. It could be their circumstances or you know, the area that they've got. Do you do a search that way versus somebody going to like a breeder and saying, okay, if I want a XYZ critter, mm-hmm, you know, there are the breeders that are available. Okay.
Right.
But if there's other ways to do it, I would think that there might be a desire for that.
Well, the main thing is if you're looking for a certain breed or a certain style of dog, then it's better to check in with us on Facebook and see who's in the house this week, you know, because we have all different kinds of breeds. What we look for, I think, is diversity. We know that people are looking for big dogs or little dogs. We've got two giant white dogs in right now, and then we have a small Corgi, it looks like Australian Shepherd cross.
Somebody stole the legs?
No, we get some very interesting, diverse pets, and we have cats and dogs also. And so right now we have two pugs that are absolutely darling that are, you know, full-blood pugs that are very desirable, and we didn't go seeking them. A family locally needed changing circumstances, so they brought us their pets to rehome because they know that we'll work really hard at getting the perfect.
That's going to be tough giving one up. I mean, having one run away.
Oh, yes.
Okay,
yes.
But giving up, mm-hmm, would be, well, we've never had to.
No, I don't know if, I haven't either.
Yeah, I don't know what that dynamic would be like.
Mm-hmm. And we know that, and we empathize with people when they come in, and we are able to reassure them they'll be well cared for and that we will find a perfect home.
Bunch of different challenges that are out there, obviously, that make it really fun,
mm-hmm,
really challenging. What legal things have changed? Let's say if somebody adopted an animal, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago when the kids were around, say.
Sure.
And now they're at a spot where they're looking again. Is it the same experience? Have things changed? What you mentioned everybody gets neutered. Yahoo.
Yeah, they do.
And the microchips and some of those types of things that didn't happen decades back.
And it saves people a tremendous amount of time and investment to be able to rescue a pet that's already been through all of that. Also, they've been socialized. So, because we spend a lot of time with the pets, and then even at times we bring them up into the front offices and they spend time with people, and they're able to. We also test and see how a dog is around cats and vice versa, how a cat handles dogs. And, you know, there's just a lot that.
Who's going to be in charge? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Who's dominant here? And it's. So there's that service. Also, you know, we are a nonprofit, and I think a lot of our adopters have become very loyal supporters out of gratefulness for this new family member. And that's another thing where we're different. We're not funded by the county or the state in any way, or the cities that sort of subscribe to a shelter like that. We are entirely supported by donations and the support also of our, we have a tail waggers shop in Henderson Center that the sales from the thrift shop really have helped tremendously to provide funds for the shelter and its work.
Now, I noticed you haven't had Flatmo paint over the old gas station mural and put a dog mural or a cat mural.
I did talk to him about it, though, and he would be able to add a few little animals. A
couple critters in the picture? Okay, fine.
there is a dollar amount attached, so we're still trying to
He's nice,
out how
but
to
not
do
stupid,
that.
Huh? Yeah, okay. Oh, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:42. We'll be back with more from Nancy Fleming.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Nancy Fleming, the executive director from the Sequoia Humane Society. This version of her life. Nancy, what do you look for, or what does somebody have to do in order to adopt?
Well, they come in and we try to make everyone feel welcome. We've just recently painted the building a bright red, so it's easy to find us, first of all.
Not to be mistaken with a fire hydrant?
No.
Okay, good. Just
good enough.
Checking out, yeah.
And then they come in and we have an application form so we can find out what their needs for their family are in particular. And again, like you were saying, whether you want a really large dog or a cat, or do you want a small dog? What is your housing situation and what works for you?
Probably activity level. I mean,
sure.
I would think that you would want to get into some of the breeds need X and
absolutely
make sure that that's part of the family
yes
lifestyle.
If you have a really feisty dog that needs lots of running and exercise, then you want to know that you would be able to provide that. And if there are other special needs, there are people, again, that want cats in their home. There are other people that want, like you said, a really big dog, and we can make that happen. But again, you'd want to make sure that they have facilities for that, that they have the land for that. Whereas a small terrier, or like we were discussing, a pug loves to just sit around and snuggle and be in the house. Whereas I have a terrier that needs a good hard run every day, and she keeps me in shape.
That's why you guys are still on the island.
Yeah, that's it.
Go!
Oh, no, we go with her, too.
Oh, also, okay.
And that's another thing that people need to think about. It's their level of activity, but you can tell the health of a pet by the health of their owner, because if you walk with your dog every day, it's one of the best exercises there is.
What about leashes? Do you guys get, and those types of things, do you, on the retail side at the society itself, not in the secondhand, but mm-hmm. Do you sell a lot of those types of things,
well,
or is
often,
that really?
Often people, not a huge volume, but we do have all of those accessories, so you can walk out the door with your own halter and your own leash or toys, whatever you
no
need.
No sweaters, I hope.
No. We
good.
Sometimes.
Really? Yeah. I think that's the goofiest thing in the world. I know some people swear by it, but I'm sorry. If a dog is wearing a sweater,
uh-huh,
it's living in the wrong area.
I see.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm not a big fan of bows in the hair either, so
that's
what do
true
you know?
That's true.
Yeah. Thanks for coming by.
Well, thank you. This was fun.
Have an enjoyable Memorial Day.
Thank you very much.
We've been Talking Shop this morning with Nancy Fleming. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love, and see you tomorrow morning.